The U.S. Department of Agriculture has many divisions to assist the just as many important aspects of American agriculture. Conservation is one of the most valuable attributes of farming, and it keeps farms viable for the long term, which allows farm families to continue the tradition of raising products used for food, fuel, and fiber generation after generation. This week, learn more about the agency that provides farmers with financial and technical assistance to use conservation to help the environment and agriculture succeed, as we visit with the Ohio Chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau Studio, this is our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Here's our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
Earlier this year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS for short, announced John Wilson as the new state conservationist for Ohio. Wilson's a graduate of Alcorn State University, earned his bachelor's degree in both agricultural economics and agricultural education. He began his career with the Soil Conservation Service, which later became NRCS, as a student trainee in Michigan. We won't hold it against him. During his time in that state up north, Wilson received his first career appointment as a soil conservationist and later served as the Pontiac, Michigan District Conservationist. In 1998, he made the very wise move to Ohio as an assistant state conservationist for field operations. In 2007, he became the state administrative officer. In 2014, he was appointed to the assistant state conservationist for programs position and oversaw Ohio's Environmental Quality Incentives Program, Conservation Stewardship Program, Regional Conservation Partnership Program, and Conservation Innovative Grants Program until he was named to his current role. Please welcome to our Ohio Weekly, the State Conservationist for Ohio, John Wilson. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, and certainly it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, your background just speaks conservation. We'll talk about that and why it's so important to you and why you chose that career path in just a bit. But we have to give kudos to the shoes you're filling with the former conservationist Terry Cosby. Moved on to Washington. He is now the chief of NRCS and pretty big shoes to fill here in the Buckeye State.
Absolutely. There are big shoes to fill coming in behind him. Certainly, I had an opportunity to work with him for about 15 years and share some of his leadership. And so I kind of patterned some of my leadership style after him. And then hopefully it will work out for me. I felt that it certainly worked for him and certainly was a pleasure working with him.
What drew you to conservation? I mentioned in your bio, you've been doing this for a few years since you got started back in college. Why this path?
Well, I grew up in rural Mississippi. I did work on a farm. We had truck crops. We did pickles, cucumbers, peppers, okra. And then also we had kind of a family field where we did watermelons and cantaloupes and sweet corn and the whole plethora of garden type vegetables that we worked on. And in addition to that, I worked on a swine farm with my cousin and neighbor who did feeder pigs. And in addition to that, I also worked on a registered Devlin cattle farm where they had registered Devlins. And so I worked to kind of maintain the farm as well as help with vaccinations. And certainly that kind of helped groom my conservation effort. Prior to my conservation effort, I was worked with my cousin who had a tractor and I drove it around the community plowing gardens for our community. And at that point in time, I turned over everything that I could and tried to leave that field with nothing on the surface. But since then, I've learned better. So,
What does your role entail? What does the State Conservationist for Ohio do?
Well, typically we work with the partners, but certainly as the head of the agency here in Ohio, we have a leadership staff that I work hand in hand with to really address the internal workings of NRCS from the standpoint of our employees, our budgeting, our contracting, our just dealing with the day-to-day activities of the agency. But also externally, we're working with the partners, seeing where we can work together to further conservation across the state of Ohio. That is my job in a nutshell, is to certainly try to hold those things together. But I realize with the partnership working with you guys as well as other partners across the state is how we get the work of conservation done. And we're just one of those tools in the toolbox to continue to get conservation on the ground.
Anytime you take on a new role, you sit in that chair and you realize some of the challenges and you think about some of the goals that you have for that new role. What were those coming into this for you at NRCS here in Ohio?
Well, certainly one of the things is certainly implement the goals of the agency as we go through and try to prioritize leveling the efforts that we have to increase climate resiliency, to sequester carbon, enhance agricultural production, and maintain the critical environmental benefits through voluntary conservation efforts. And that is one of the things that we really focus on is providing that technical expertise on the voluntary efforts. And we have quite a few newer employees in Ohio. A lot of them have come on since COVID. And so we are going to be introducing ourselves to some folks. Now they've been working. And so we're in the process of also providing that training to those employees as we're able to get back together and do things in person. But certainly we've tried to do as much virtual training as we can to do it, but there's nothing better than having that face-to-face training. So we're intending to really work on that as one of the priorities. Certainly providing more assistance to the urban community. That's one of the things that's a priority of the department. So we're working to do that, increase our outreach efforts in the urban communities.
I want to talk about that a little bit more a little bit later on in the conversation. But as you look at Ohio as a whole, USDA came out recently a report showing that we have over a decade of conservation trends that are looking pretty good across the country. Where do you feel Ohio fits into the picture conservation-wise across the state?
Well, I think we fit very well. Certainly, we've got a lot of efforts through different activities and programs in the state. We continue to work through the bipartisan infrastructure law, signed into law back in November of 2021. It provides over $900 million to the watershed programs administered by NRCS. A lot of people may not be aware that since 1948, NRCS has assisted local sponsors in protecting their watersheds and improving benefits such as flood protection, water storage, wildlife habitat, recreational opportunities, by building and rehabbing dams, conducting stream bank stabilizations, improving watershed infrastructure. These watershed programs help communities bounce back from natural disasters and prepare them for future ones. The influx of funding that will help Ohio's watershed certainly provide those and address those priorities and concerns. In total, we received about $7.4 million that will be invested into five Ohio watershed infrastructure projects through this USDA. There's two programs. One is the USDA Watershed Rehab or Rehabilitation Program and the Watershed and Flood Prevention Operations or WFPO program. Through the first and second round of funding, investments in Ohio watershed infrastructure includes four projects through the rehab program, which focus on upgrading existing dams, as well as one from the WFPO project, which NRCS will provide technical and financial assistance for the new watershed.
A lot of great work being done. Visiting with the State Conservationist for Ohio, John Wilson, this week on Our Ohio Weekly. And in agriculture, we talk about water quality and nutrient management quite a bit. It's something you guys work on in partnership with Ohio Farm Bureau on a couple projects as well. We have that great gem to the north with Lake Erie and, of course, Ohio River down to the south. Water quality is so important for everyone across the state. What are some things being done on that front, particularly with Lake Erie, which we know has had some issues with algal bloom over the past 10 years and something gets quite a bit of attention every summer?
Sure. Now, I'll certainly start with the Blanchard River Demonstration Farm network. Certainly, we've been doing that for over 5 years. And in December of 2020, we've committed with Ohio Farm Bureau a new 5-year agreement to continue the research being done on and improve water quality. And the next phase of that will focus even more on farmer interaction and promoting conservation practices with the producers. In addition to that, When we talk about water quality, we have other projects in the Western Lake Erie Basin, such as the H2O Ohio Western Lake Erie Basin Regional Conservation Partnership Program, in which NRCS and the state of Ohio are focusing on land management practices and system implementation to reduce Lake Erie nutrient enrichment. This specific partnership focuses this project on farms and farmers in a 10-county portion of the Western Lake Erie Basin, not currently included in the H2O Ohio program. Thereby, we're going to be accelerating programs towards achieving Ohio's commitment to the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement. And then we also have the Tri-State Western Lake Erie Basin Regional Conservation Partnership Program, in which we are working with partners in the state of Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan, led by the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, to improve soil health, reduce nutrient load and impact in the Western Lake Erie Basin. And those efforts are specifically focused on working with producers and landowners operating near the Maumee headwaters and strategically placed conservation practices on the ground. And there's also another pilot watershed project along with the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. And this is led by the Ohio State University, which has established a shallow run watershed in Hardin County as a focal point in implementing a variety of agricultural best management practices, the effectiveness of these practices while tracking through our own field to stream water quality monitoring. So we're working to do that, as well as another agreement with Ohio State University Extension we created to support 6 water quality extension specialists that will engage in the Western Lake Erie producers through education, outreach, demonstration, and encourage widespread use of the best management practices. And I can go on and on. We have the 590 nutrient management standard revision, something that we've worked over several years to really update the standard. Now includes a more definitive path to draw down the high soil test phosphorus fields, recommendations to apply wider use of field to edge of field trapping practices, and the technical note containing nitrogen and phosphorus loss risk assessment procedures.
I love the fact that you can go on and on. That means that we are doing our job in agriculture. NRCS, Ohio Farm Bureau, we're constantly preaching to our members and farmers across Ohio, and especially in those very important watersheds, how important it is to be a part of the solution when it comes to our water quality challenges in Ohio. And we're seeing that. We're seeing farmers engage with NRCS, become involved in H2 Ohio. Voluntary measures are actually working across the state.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you mentioned the SEEP video earlier, and that is one of those studies that actually look at the practices that we have put on the land through looking at the practices, looking at data through rainfall, surveying farmers to get the real ground truth of some of the activities, and it is showing the results of those conservation activities. So we're certainly excited about that also.
Happy to be visiting with the new state conservationist for Ohio. John Wilson is chief of Ohio's NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Service. A lot of agriculture beginning to happen in urban parts of the state. We'll talk about those initiatives after this as our Ohio Weekly continues.
Guesswork may be great for trivia or a jar full of jelly beans, but for getting the right insurance coverage for your farm, not so much. Introducing the Ohio Farm Bureau Select Partners Program, an insurance and financial services program for Ohio's farming community. Select partner agencies specialize in the unique needs of agriculture, plus they're endorsed by local farmers like you. Achieve your strongest farm future at ohiofarmbureau.org/selectpartners.
Safety in agriculture is a top priority, and the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation has your safety needs covered with free safety consulting services, safety intervention grants, and training and education. Prevent workplace injuries and illnesses. Visit bwc.ohio.gov and click on Safety Services or call 866-569-7805 for more information. Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation, we've got you covered.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $2.8 billion. Much of that value comes from the standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA membership and Ohio's agriculture is undeniable. The farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn those amazingly fast, four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Your projects are a big deal, so use equipment that can get the job done. Cat Equipment sets the standard for the industry. The Cat product line includes more than 300 machines to handle a wide variety of duties. Ohio Farm Bureau members can save up to $5,000 when buying or leasing qualifying Cat equipment, plus a $250 credit on select work tool attachments. Learn more by visiting ofbf.org/savings and click on the Caterpillar logo. Limitations and restrictions apply.
Ohio Farm Bureau has teamed up with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Ohio to offer health insurance options typically reserved for larger employers to Ohio agribusinesses with 1 to 50 employees. The Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan can provide you significant savings and quality health insurance benefits for your employees. For more information, eligibility, and competitive rates, visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org or call 800-937-4567.
You're listening to Our Ohio Weekly on great radio stations across Ohio like WFIN, 1330 AM and 95.5 FM in Findlay, 95.3 FM in Kenton, WKTN, WJAW in McConnellsville, 100.9 FM, and WMVO, 93.7 in Mount Vernon. I'm Ty Higgins. Visiting this week with the state conservationist for the Buckeye State, John Wilson. We talked about agriculture and all those great projects happening across the state for water quality. Those are on a bigger scale. But you mentioned part of your upbringing was in urban agriculture and some of the ways that you were able to help out in Mississippi. We're doing that here in Ohio as well, some grants to help out urban agriculture, innovative production. What are some of those programs and what do they look like as far as that smaller scale agriculture is concerned?
Yes, as part of my experience with NRCS was an urban resource conservationist in the Southeast Michigan area. I'll say that carefully. But certainly some of the things that we're doing with equity in urban agriculture, and certainly USDA is committed to the value of equity and inclusion. We're taking bold historic actions to reduce the barriers to access and barriers to the opportunities for the underserved communities. We're working to build a fairer, more transparent food system and have taken the following steps to ensure that goal. The Secretary Advisory Committee for Urban Agriculture is one of those several ways that USDA is extending support and building frameworks to support urban agriculture, including issues of equity and food nutrition access. And USDA have awarded $50 million to 118 entities for a two-year project that expands outreach and delivery of conservation assistance to farmers who have been historically underserved, including beginning, limited resource, social disadvantage, and veterans. We're also working to support the urban agriculture as it plays an important role in improving access to fresh, healthy produce in the areas where grocery stores are quite frankly, scarce. Ohio has been a leader in supporting these efforts, starting back in 2012 with the Cleveland High Tunnel Initiative. And since then, we have established or installed over 120 seasonal high tunnels in the Cleveland area. And we're expanding the program to other urban areas in the state, as well as nationally. And they're using the Cleveland High Tunnel Initiative as a pattern to structure that in other urban areas throughout the country. We have the Office of Urban Agriculture and Innovative Production, and this expanded his support with these efforts to grant organizations like the Famicos Foundation in Cleveland, which received the funding to revitalize the Michael R. White STEM School Garden, complete with an on-site educational facility and nearby gateway to the 105 Market, which is where the produce from that garden is sold. So we feel really good about those type of activities.
It's important that those that maybe haven't been involved in agriculture in some time get back into the fold and find out about food production, find out that it's not as easy as it looks, and be able to offer those foods locally. Local's been kind of a buzzword here with COVID. When the grocery store started running out of food, people were looking towards more local options. Did that give this type of initiative and these urban agriculture efforts kind of a shot in the arm when that local food scene started to come on again because of the pandemic?
I think it has, and certainly our efforts in those communities have expanded. You know, certainly there are challenges, certainly with the COVID, but certainly we continue to work in those arenas and had an opportunity to visit last week on some community churches up in the Cleveland, Akron area, and had a program on some of the successes that they've had thus far. And certainly, we are continuing to expand that. Cleveland is one of those areas, one of those cities that will have an urban office in it. Now we've had, NRCS had an urban office in its, since at least 2012, but even before then, but now we expanded in 2012 to include an urban resource conservationist to really focus on the high tunnel and some of the other practices that we can bring to the urban areas. But with the urban office, certainly now it's extending into our sister agency, the Farm Service Agency. They will have employees in that office, which was a part of our initial Cleveland High Tunnel initiative. Some of the work that we do is based on some of the eligibility that we work with FSA for those producers.
Before I let you go, we have a very important farm bill that just started being, I guess, talked about. Some listening sessions, some opening remarks about what a new farm bill might look like here in 2022 or maybe 2024, depending on how fast Washington's wheels turn on this particular farm bill. Where does conservation fit into the farm bill process, and how does conservation and the farm bill kind of work together?
Well, usually, certainly, conservation is usually one of the big parts of the Farm Bill, and I guess we're waiting to see how it draws out, but we certainly anticipate it being, it always has had support for conservation, and certainly doing it on a voluntary effort. So we're staying tuned to see how it draws out this time, and so we're interested also to see how it goes.
State Conservationist for Ohio, John Wilson, really appreciate your time and insights. Great to meet you. Thank you for your time and congratulations on your new role.
Well, thank you. And again, I'm honored to have the opportunity to come back to Ohio and work with the producers and conservation partners as we go through and improve conservation in Ohio. So thank you for this opportunity.
Over the next few weeks, meeting more great leaders of agencies for Ohio, including the director of the Ohio Farm Service Agency. And we'll meet the new leader of Ohio's Rural Development Agency as well. That's all coming up here over the next few weeks on Our Ohio Weekly. Meeting our leaders at Ohio Farm Bureau to the beat of agriculture, the president, Bill Patterson, after this. This is Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. On today's segment of To the Beat of Agriculture, we'll hear from Ohio Farm Bureau's president, Bill Patterson. We'll also dive into his own agritourism operation and how the Farm Bureau truly begins in your community with the local farmer.
My name is Bill Patterson. I currently serve as the president of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. I grew up on a farm. I'm actually sixth generation in our family farm, which is a direct-to-consumer, agritourism, apple, everything fall business up in Geauga County in Chesterland, just outside of Cleveland. I then went to Ohio State University and graduated in agricultural economics from Ohio State in 93 and went right back to the farm where I've been since. It was really my grandfather that started bringing people out to what we do and showing them a good time. In fact, my grandfather, I always credit him to saying this. I don't know if he said it or not, but, you know, offer a fair product at a fair price and you're always going to get, you're always going to have customers. So that was very influential. My father, whether you're aware or not, was the 14th president of the Ohio Farm Bureau, as well as worked, obviously, at the farm as the fifth generation. And certainly seeing those opportunities and seeing how those opportunities affect the ability for us to be able to farm, how we were affecting policy, how we affected how people viewed us as a farm, as an organization, was certainly something that I never in a million years would have known was reflecting on me and making an impression on me, but it did. And so as soon as we came home from college, and I say we as in my brother and I, who both came back to the farm, as soon as we came back to the farm, you immediately see the need. You immediately involve yourself in Farm Bureau and see the need of why it's so important to have good involvement in those type of organizations. So our agritourism, the people that come there and enjoy what we do every single year, is what keeps you motivated to continue to do this. You know, we can't really say, here's what it is to be on the farm every day. So what do? We try to take that back to experiences that we experienced as children growing up on a farm. So that's very realistic then, because we can offer, you know, walking through the cornfield, the corn mazes, playing on big giant bales of straw, sliding down anything and everything around the farm. We can't offer that experience of what it was like to grow up a kid from the kid's lens and then sort of accentuate it with what we do. It's those other pieces where we want to make sure that we're educating people. That's the part that we got to make sure that we're really lining up the facts of what people want to learn with what we want to tell them. I was passionate about policy. You know, I think those are some things that I found very interesting, which is why Ohio Farm Bureau and being involved in Farm Bureau ended up being such a natural fit and something that I really enjoyed doing. At the end of the day, the reason that we are the largest and most influential is because we have the most members and they are influential. And so just anytime having the opportunity to interact, be with members, being around members, talk to members about what their dreams are, what their concerns are, that's the big deal about being the leader of that organization. And I think that anybody would say that's ever been in this position, that it's about the relationships, it's about the people. And you hear that in so many things. But when you have somebody that's willing to give you money to advocate on how they are going to live their life, on helping them be able to have a prosperous farm and be able to farm, that's a real big deal. It's a grassroots organization. A lot of people get this sort of challenge. Well, how much is it a grassroots organization? The state seems to do everything. Well, it is a grassroots. And if you go through the policy development or the code committee, you know that everything is run from the county farm bureaus. The 86 county farm bureaus in Ohio operate. They dictate what we are going to do and how we're going to do it. And we take our orders from them and we support what they want to do, which is ultimately supporting the member on any given thing. So when a member has a problem, how do we take that problem, put it in the right form, and then get action taken on that item? And any time that we have a policy thing that sort of moves from a member mentioning it in a county to that annual meeting getting voted on, brought to the Ohio Farm Bureau annual meeting, brought to a legislator, and sometimes within 6 months, a year, sometimes 5 years, action is taken from that one voice that started and then joined together, worked together with other farmers to bring that forward. A fellow who created apple butter in our county by the name of Dan Whiting, all of a sudden they came and said, you can't do this anymore. Within 6 months of him raising the issue, the law had been passed and he was able to operate. There was no way that he was going to be able to make a difference without working together with other Ohio farmers. So with all the bumps, agriculture is thriving in the state of Ohio. And that's in no small part due to the activities of Ohio Farm Bureau and building the relationships with the governor and the legislature so that they understand agriculture, understand the needs of agriculture, and can balance those needs with the rest of the population of the state. But to that point, we have identified the fact that Ohio agriculture needs to double down on the advocacy we do on a daily basis, and not from the top. And we know that farmer members want to advocate on behalf of agriculture. And so we're looking ways to make sure that we have the members there at the forefront.
Our thanks to Bill Patterson, president of the Ohio Farm Bureau, for his time on today's show. To hear past interviews, visit your favorite podcast platforms and search for Our Ohio Weekly. Your stories are precious, and they should be preserved. Do it in the form of a personal audio keepsake called Audio Scrapbook. Visit audioscrapbook.com today to learn more. That's audioscrapbook.com. I'm Ty Higgins, back in just a couple of minutes here on Our Ohio Weekly.
Farmers are busy. You need business solutions from people who know farming. Introducing the Ohio Farm Bureau Select Partners Program, an insurance and financial services program for Ohio's farming community. Endorsed by farmers like you, Select Partners are committed to providing the best in consultative services to the agricultural community. Achieve your strongest farm future at ohiofarmbureau.org/selectpartners.
Farm Bureau Bank has built its entire existence around the lifestyle and needs of farmers. They're here to help grow traditions, give back to agricultural communities, and offer financial convenience for your unique way of life. Visit farmbureau.bank or call one of their personal bankers today, 800-492-3276, to learn more. That's farmbureau.bank or 800-492-3276. From sun up to sundown, Farm Bureau Bank is committed to serving you.
Case IH is a proud supporter of Ohio Farm Bureau. And thanks to a membership benefits partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount of up to $500 on every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. So join Ohio Farm Bureau and pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount at ofbf.org. That's ofbf.org.
Today, it might seem that all news headlines impact you directly.
How will rural Ohio recover from a global pandemic?
A county eminent domain case heads to the Supreme Court.
Millions are still in need of reliable internet access.
The nation's food supply chain is being challenged.
For over 100 years, Ohio Farm Bureau has advocated for a strong Ohio food and farm community, and will continue to engage on issues important to you, because your growth is our future. Farm proud and farm strong by becoming an Ohio Farm Bureau member today by visiting ohiofarmbureau.org. Thank you for making Our Ohio Weekly a part of your weekend. I'm Ty Higgins. The Ohio State University will be the lead partner on a new five-year, multi-million dollar pilot watershed project in northwestern Ohio, all designed to demonstrate that agricultural conservation practices, if used on 70% of the farmland in a watershed and evaluated on a watershed scale, can help meet Lake Erie's water quality goals. Jay Martin is the project's director and an ecological engineering professor with the College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences, Department of Food, Agricultural, and Biological Engineering. Jay, welcome to Our Ohio Weekly.
Thanks for having me today, Ty. Happy to be here.
Going to find out more about this project in a bit, but first of all, it's happening in what's known as the Shallow Run Watershed. Where is that located, and why was this particular area chosen for the project?
Shallow Run's located in Hardin County, Ohio, so it's a little bit more than an hour northwest of Columbus, a little bit north of Kenton. There's the village of Dunkirk, which is smack dab in the middle of Shallow Run. And then we're focused on about 6,000 agricultural acres that surrounds the village of Dunkirk. And Shallow Run, it's in the headwaters of the Blanchard River. And the Blanchard is one of the rivers that eventually drains into Lake Erie via the Maumee River.
So what will this project entail as a whole?
Well, the main goal here is that we know that conservation practices make a difference for water quality at a field scale. Work that the USDA ARS has done, work that we've done here at OSU show that. What we haven't shown yet is that these practices, when we aggregate them to a bigger scale than a field, to a watershed scale, if you will, that they will improve water quality. And so when we look at the end of the Maumee watershed, for instance, we don't see any evidence of all the great practices that have been adopted in that watershed. So the goal of this practice is to focus on a watershed much smaller than the grand Maumee watershed, but to focus on a smaller watershed, Shallow Run, which is 6,000 acres, and to work with the ag community there to get practices up to about 70% adoption rate, so that we can demonstrate that we can maintain agriculture production and improve water quality to the thresholds that we're trying to reach for Lake Erie.
we talk about conservation practices. We talk about what needs to happen monetarily in order to make a lot of those practices happen. So how do you get to that 70% benchmark?
That's a great question. And I readily admit that that is an ambitious goal, probably looking across different watersheds, Northwest Ohio, it's maybe 30% or something like that. So we have a few ideas to try to elevate the rates up to 70%. One of those is larger payments for farmers, to be honest. One of those is working with agriculture retailers. So what we found in other projects is agriculture retailers are trusted source of information for farmers. So we're working with three agriculture retailers that are leaders in this area. And so we'll be working with them to engage with farmers and to advocate for these practices. Another approach we have is an approach called agglomeration, which hasn't been used in agriculture yet. It has been used to develop some wildlife refuges and things like that. But that's the idea that as more farmers adopt the practices, the payments increase. And so that promotes farmers to engage in these practices, one, for a greater economic benefit, one, because they're helping each other. So if I adopt and you adopt, then we both help each other and we can do this as a community. So those are three of the ways that we hope we can get those practices up to 70%.
H2 Ohio, of course, happening in 24 counties in Northwest Ohio, and they have, 10 practices that they like to talk about as far as that program goes. How many different practices are you looking at here, and how is it going to be different from H2 Ohio?
Firstly, before answering that question, I just want to thank H2 Ohio and the state of Ohio because they're a huge partner for this project, and a lot of the practices that H2 Ohio is behind, we're behind too. So subsurface placement fertilizer is probably the foremost practice that we're going to advocate for, just because that's been shown to have the biggest impact on reducing phosphorus in phosphorus runoff from fields. And so H2 Ohio right now, I believe, has a $30 per acre payment for farmers. And so H2 Ohio will make that $30. And then for our project, we'll make an additional payment to bring that up to perhaps $90 an acre if we reach that 70% level. So we're advocating for a lot of the same practices as H2 Ohio, cover crops, drainage water management. A few of the novel practices we have in addition to H2 Ohio are phosphorus removal structures. So if we find some fields that have legacy phosphorus or really high phosphorus levels in their soils, we can use these structures to reduce that before it comes in the stream. So we're also promoting buffer strips, which is similar to H2 Ohio. In addition to H2 Ohio in the agricultural side, we're also working with H2 Ohio and the Ohio Department of Natural Resources to promote wetlands in this watershed. And actually the buffer strips is something that ODNR promotes as well. So we're working both on the ag side of H2 Ohio and on the Department of Natural Resources with H2 Ohio.
You can read more about this project in Our Ohio magazine. Just look for the OSU Impact section when it comes into your mailbox. Jay Martin is the project's director and an ecological engineering professor with the College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences, Department of Food, Agricultural, and Biological Engineering. Appreciate your time and look forward to hearing the progress of this study and the results here in 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Ty. And I'll give one last shout out to Ohio Farm Bureau for being a great partner on this project as well. Thanks again.
More Our Ohio Weekly next.
Today, farmers and small businesses with employees continue to search for health coverage options. Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan has teamed up with Anthem to offer businesses with 1 to 50 employees an opportunity to participate in a large, self-funded pool backed by Anthem. This health benefits plan offers competitive rates through a self-funded arrangement, fixed and predictable monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs, including deductible with coinsurance and high deductible plans. The OFB Health Benefits Plan uses Anthem's Healthcare Provider Network, one of the largest provider networks in the state. Your benefits package can affect employee satisfaction. With the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan, you get access to Anthem's industry-leading specialty plans, vision, life, disability, and more, in addition to medical plans. Plus, they're integrated for even more value. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org for eligibility details and to receive your highly competitive quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org, a self-funded medical plan for Ohio Farm Bureau members.
Safety in agriculture is a top priority, and the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation has your safety needs covered with free safety consulting services, safety intervention grants, and training and education. Prevent workplace injuries and illnesses. Visit bwc.ohio.gov and click on Safety Services or call 866-569-7805 for more information. Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation. We've got you covered.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $2.8 billion. Much of that value comes from the standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA membership and Ohio's agriculture is undeniable. The farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast, four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Guesswork may be great for trivia or a jar full of jelly beans, but for getting the right insurance coverage for your farm, not so much. Introducing the Ohio Farm Bureau Select Partners Program, an insurance and financial services program for Ohio's farming community. Select partner agencies specialize in the unique needs of agriculture, plus they're endorsed by local farmers like you. Achieve your strongest farm future at OhioFarmBureau.org/selectpartners.
Show your Ohio Farm Bureau pride with a new t-shirt, hat, or hoodie. Available now at OFBF.org/shop. The new Farm Bureau logo is now featured on a full line of clothing for men, women, kids, and babies. You can even add the Farm Bureau mark on water bottles, mugs, cell phone cases, and more. All from one spot. OFBF.org/shop. A bandana for the dog, a pillow for the couch, or an apron for the grill master. OFBF.org/shop. That's OFBF.org/shop.
No matter where your travels take you, Ohio Farm Bureau membership benefits will follow. Before you check in, check out the wide variety of options Farm Bureau members have when it comes to hotel discounts. From Red Roof Inn to over 30 iconic brands offered through Choice and Wyndham, you'll be able to find the comfort level that's right for you. To learn more on how to save on your lodging needs, visit ofbf.org/savings. Another valuable member benefit exclusive to Ohio Farm Bureau members.
Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly, and thank you as always for listening. I'm Ty Higgins. Young people getting involved in agriculture is something we're challenged with here in Ohio agriculture, but something that Ohio Farm Bureau is certainly working on. That is where Jana Musard comes in. She is brand new with the organization. She's been named the Explore Ag and Ag Literacy Program Specialist, and Jana will talk about both those things in a bit. But first of all, welcome to the show and welcome to Ohio Farm Bureau.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I enjoy working with youth and agriculture, so a perfect fit.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about, but first of all, your background. You've been involved in agriculture for some time.
I have. I grew up on a Holstein farm, family farm in Northwest Ohio, milked cows, baled hay, and that's where I basically, baling the small square bales of hay. My dad never bought a round baler till we all left for college.
Of course.
but it is where I developed my love of agriculture and went to Ohio State. Worked in the industry for 10 or 11 years until I found this awesome opportunity, and I'm very happy and pleased to be here.
For those who don't know, the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation works heavily in looking for tomorrow's workforce in Ohio agriculture and really agriculture across the country and across the world. That's where Explore Ag comes in. Part of your job description is overseeing that program. Tell us about Explore Ag and what it's all about.
So Explore Ag is a program funded through the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation. So it is a camp, multiple camps throughout the state. There's one at Ohio State main campus, one at OSU ATI, and then a University of Findlay. And then we have some weekend camps available as well. It's Central State University, Ohio State main campus, and then Hocking College as well. But the neat thing about this is it is a, like I said, it is a free camp funded through the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation, which is phenomenal. But it gives youth an opportunity to go out and have the hands-on experience and see what agriculture is about. See the different careers they have. It's not single, you know, I want to be a vet, I want to be a farmer. There's so much more, from, you know, food science to crop rotation or the soil sciences, drone technology. There's just a huge gamut of opportunities available, not just, you know, one or two opportunities in agriculture.
Those camps you mentioned, is there still availability for them, and how can people learn more?
Yes, there is. So you can go to the exploreag.org page on the website. There is a JOT form. We do have, we have one camp filled for sure. It's the Ohio State main campus. But we have a couple slots left for the OSU ATI. And then the University of Findlay has some opportunity, as well as Central State, the Ohio State Columbus campus. Just the weekend camp has availability, as well as Hocking College.
Of course, we expand on the idea of Explore Ag camps with your other part of your title, Ag Literacy Programs, something that Ohio Farm Bureau members have been asking for a couple of years now. And because of that grassroots effort and interest, Ag in the Classroom is a big part of that. What are you working on? What are your hopes? What are your goals as you get started working on programs that we're going to be able to reach kids directly with?
It's an amazing experience to get more and more ag information to the classroom. And having hands-on, you know, there has been a huge push for STEM things within the schools. And I think putting this agricultural spin on the STEM, well, I mean, that is what agriculture is. I mean, we do science, we do technology, we do all of it. So to get those programs into the school is a very big push. And I am working on developing different programs for that as well.
Of course, I mentioned you were a 4-H educator. You have a lot of knowledge and you have a lot of connections. Our members feel it's important to reach out to those youth and those young people in the classroom to share the message of agriculture and food production. How willing are the schools and those classrooms to get us in there and learn more about it?
I think it's a big area that they, you know, obviously teachers are very busy. They also teach on, you know, curriculum geared towards testing. I have four kids, youth of my own, and I know that time is very tight. So developing basically curriculum that the teachers can come and get, you know, basically have everything template laid out where these are the materials you need. Here are the four teaching core principles. Here is what you need to do. And here are the, you know, evaluations and results of the said program. So having it be able to, having the teachers have that hands-on, you know, this is what I need for this class. I'm going to click it, download it. Here we go.
All work of the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation, important work to bring in the next generation of workforce in Ohio agriculture. We need all hands on deck as we move forward with, as Jana said, technology and all different aspects of agriculture for the next generation and beyond. Jana Musard, really appreciate your time and really appreciate what you're doing here. And if you want to learn more about ag literacy or the Explore Ag camps, you can always log on to ohiofarmbureau.org. And of course, it wouldn't be possible without the foundation. You can find out how to give at ohiofarmbureau.org/foundation. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side and produced by Ohio Farm Bureau, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. Be sure to visit Our Ohio Weekly's podcast page to listen to previous episodes at ofbf.org/OurOhioWeekly.